everybody. We're excited to worship with you this morning. If you're able, let's stand to our feet and give honor to the one it is due to. Amen.
Jehovah, Jehovah. This is for the lost and lonely, for the broken and afraid. This is for those who are hurt.
Yeah. ironic that
you missed that?
Isn't that ironic that I literally just talked about that?
Buddy, as soon as I heard it, I just jumped in and went, okay.
I'm gonna go.
It was fun.
Isn't that the worst?
Your brain can't comprehend it. It's like Chinese.
Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you today. I'm glad to be here. I hope you are too, wherever you're watching on live stream. It's good to see you joining us this morning. And, of course, we canceled Wednesday night, which is a rare event. But at the same time, I noticed the ice hit about a little 8:30, which was about the time we'd have been traveling, so I'm glad we didn't. I didn't want to send any of you home on the back roads in the dark with the ice, right? So, having said that, we're here this morning, and we're going to take up tithe and offering at this time. So if you have something to give today, offering envelopes in the chairs in front of you, and if you don't see one there, if it fell too far down in that thing in the back of that chair, wave your hand around. And that's Mike, by the way, Mike Rogan. If you didn't know him, he's new with us today. I'm kidding. Mike's got offering envelopes, but he's also got prayer cards, too, I think. Yeah, he's got them. So if you have a prayer need, you can ask for one of those and fill it out, and we'll put it up in this container up here, and we'll be prayed over at Monday night prayer, which happens tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. So I encourage you to come out for that. But let me pray over your giving. Now you're preparing it, but let me pray over it. And if you have something this morning, for that, you can bring it down to these baskets. Lord, we thank you to be here today, gathered together in your name, worshiping you. And once again, staking out a place in our life for sacred time and sacred space, and that we dedicate these mornings just to come and be in unity with the fellowship of believers and to hear the word. And I thank you for the opportunity to do that. And I pray as we give today, it's just a simple continuation of our worship we are giving unto you of what we have in our hands. And I thank you to be able to do that. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. You can bring it down if you have something.
Well, good morning. We're so excited to have you here. And if you are a new guest, we would love to get you to know you better. So we're going to put if you want to scan that QR code right back there, and it will just ask for a little bit of information about you. And we just want to get to know you better. So we'd love for you to do that. One other thing is there is supposed to be women's Bible study tonight at 6:30, but because of the Super Bowl, some wives have to make snacks for their husbands. So we're going to push it to next week at 6:30 if you would like to join us for that.
The Super Bowl's tonight? I had no idea. I'm kidding. If you don't know, I grew up in Pennsylvania, so I am an Eagles fan. And security, you can throw Justin out, okay? He's a Cowboys fan, which that's... I don't want to say too much about it, but the Cowboys and the devil, you know, to me, they're about right there. Yeah, he does, but still. Anyways, anyhow, so hope for a good game tonight. Anyhow, having said that, don't forget the last Friday of this month coming, the 28th, from 6 to 9 p.m., we have our next Love Your Marriage time together, providing dinner, childcare if you have some little ones, and it's a night of strengthening our marriage. The topic this year is unified, and we're doing it a little bit different this year than we had in the past, so I encourage you to come on out for that. There's a sign-up sheet at the back. Several of you have signed up for it, so if you haven't yet, go ahead. That way, we just are able to order enough food for everybody that's here. So I'm looking forward to Love Your Marriage. And also, don't forget, February is our kickoff of our small groups. So real quick, don't forget, as Samara shared, changes for her small group, Judah's small group. It's the fourth Friday of the month at 6 o'clock. We got the ladies. Margot's traveling back from Tennessee right now. She went for the weekend to see our grandbaby. But the ladies meet for coffee the last Saturday of every month at 9 a.m. Tish and Vinny, they do their cooking group. That is the third Saturday at 11 a.m. Joy Fellowship for the older people and our folks in our church. That's the fourth Sunday at 5 p.m. And let's see. And don't forget, then Don has one. Don Allen right there. He has one. That's every Thursday at 6 o'clock that starts February the 27th, and that's for men. So having said that, if you need more than what I just said right there, there's a poster on the backboard back there. You can take a picture of it and have that with you. And I encourage you to get involved in a small group as they are kicking off this month. And just for your aware, Kids Church this month, the topic is Jesus Knows Us. So if your little ones down there, that's what they're learning about this month. And I'm always excited for what's happening in Kids Church. And our Kids Church team does an amazing job, don't they? Let's give them a little hand. All right, you guys do a great job. And I appreciate all of you that are volunteering and all of our volunteers, but we certainly appreciate those who work with our kids. Not child care, we are building them up in the faith. All right, so as you can tell again, as we did last week, so many people are still struggling and dealing with the sickness that's been going around. So how about we stand up? I want to pray over everybody again this morning. And we ain't giving up until they're all back. Amen? All right, Lord, we thank you that you are a healing God. We believe, as the song we are singing and miracle working power, Lord, there's so many that are going through it. Sometimes the sickness just keeps rolling through, and people are just going through some stuff right now. And we believe, Lord, you're going to touch their bodies. You're going to heal them. You're going to relieve them of the sickness. You're going to comfort them, Lord. And they're going to see the goodness of days and full health. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. So come back to the Fellowship Believers. And we thank you that we will see them next week. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. All right. All right. But if the people that you've seen haven't been here, reach out to them. Let them know that we miss them. And we can't wait for them to be back with us here at church. Well, we are jumping in to the next section of our series, The Genuine Jesus. We took about 5 weeks or so and looked at some of the table manners of Jesus. And we're switching gears, but with the same goal in mind, getting down to who he is. And we're going to be spending the next few weeks in what is called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. And it constitutes, again, what is called the Sermon on the Mount. It is the longest continual recorded teaching of Jesus that we have in the Bible. As Matthew, as later they broke up what Matthew wrote into three chapters, it spans the entire three chapters of just continuous teaching. It's the longest stretch of teaching of Jesus that's recorded in the Bible. Now, it's called the Sermon on the Mount because apparently when he gave this sermon or this groupings of teachings, he was kind of up on a hill that overlooked the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And the Sermon on the Mount, I want to read this. Go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. If you have your Bible this morning, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. I want to read to you the ending of this sermon because it sets up the entirety of the sermon. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. I'm going to wait. There it is. Okay, let's read this together. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. Now, how many of you want to live in wisdom? Let me see. Okay. Well, I think that's all of us. Well, good. We'll be like a wise man who's built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. He built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Have you ever been to the ocean? How many of you have been to the ocean? You build a sandcastle. How many ever built a sandcastle? And then eventually the tide comes in, it just washes it away, right? Those who don't listen to the words of Jesus, you end up building your house on like the sandcastle on the beach. Eventually the tide will come in and wipe it away. But we would rather build our lives in the wisdom of Jesus. The context of this right here, and we often see this pulled out of this and used in various ways, and I think those are fine and okay, but the direct context of building your life on the rock is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, called the Sermon on the Mount. Again, this continued long teaching of Jesus that seems to have several parts in it, but nonetheless are what really is the wisdom of God for how we are to live this life. Now, real quick, two things, real fast. My encouragement to you is that over the next several weeks while we're doing this, at least one day, you take your Bible reading time and read through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Now, I shared this with you in the past. There was a time where I was reading in the Sermon on the Mount something, and it struck me as, I don't understand that completely. You know what I'm saying? You ever read something in the Bible and you're just like, I get it, but I don't? I mean, what I'm talking about. And it struck me that way. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, just stay here. And I took that literally. So probably for, I would say, the next 18 months. Not every single day. I would say 90 to 95% of the days. I simply read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. I stayed there. And I'll tell you what, it began to speak to me in a way that I had never seen it before. So anyways, during this duration of this time in the Sermon on the Mount, I would encourage you to schedule a day, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever, and that be your day to read Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Now, I've done this enough to know that if you just read it consistently, it'll take you 12 minutes. That's how much I knew the timing of it. It'll take you about 12 minutes to kind of methodically read through the sermon, not rushing, but kind of methodically reading through Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Also, I would encourage you, this is a big note-taking kind of series. Because I think the things that we're going to talk about, you're going to have to settle in on some of this stuff, because what I discovered in the Sermon on the Mount is that Jesus says some things, but he doesn't always explain everything he's saying. I think when that happens, especially when we start the Beatitudes today, these things need to really settle in on your heart. Now, the Sermon on the Mount, I don't want to take long of an introduction here because I have two Beatitudes I'd love to get through today. We'll see. But to me, now watch this, to me, the Sermon on the Mount draws the sharpest contrast between the ways of the Christian life and the ways of a fallen world. But here, and the Sermon on the Mount does touch on aspects of sin. It deals with lust and things like this. But what I have found, this was true in my own life, especially when I spent a lot of time in the Sermon on the Mount, it was the contrast between the Christian life and the ways of the fallen world were differentiated by obvious sin. Amen. Thank you, Sienna. Yes. We're awake. All right. That was the biggest amen I ever got in my entire 30 years of preaching. That was piercing the darkness right there. All right, so. And I think when we think about the difference between the Christian life and the ways of the fallen world, we center in on sin, listen, alone. And the Sermon on the Mount challenges that. Not that the differences don't involve sin, but there's more than just obvious sin that differentiates the world and the Christian life. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Especially when you jump into the Beatitudes, these things sort of become obvious. So the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, they are more subtle in contrast between the Christian life and the ways of the fallen world. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump into the Beatitudes today. So Matthew chapter 5. And I want to read down through the Beatitudes. Then we're going to jump into the first one. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, seeing the crowds, this is Jesus, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them. Here's the beginning of wisdom in which you are to build your house upon. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be